Welcome. Welcome to our worship on this 13th of September. Today, as well as this video worship, there will be service at Kingairloch Church, and at 11 o'clock there will be a celebration of Holy Communion on Zoom. And if you don't have the login details and would like to share in that at 11 o'clock today, you can be in touch with me. We come together in spirit, although we are distanced. We come to worship our God. And our first hymn today, it's number 93 in CH4, if you're following along there. And it's the psalm, "Let us with a gladsome mind praise the Lord, for he is kind." Now let us pray. God of grace, your love created the universe and all that it contains, earth, air, fire and water, the traditional elements of all life. Every part of creation made from the same tiny atoms of life-giving energy, each one made with love. You give us so much more than we deserve, and you ask only that we love you in return. You give us free will, which allows us to choose to say yes or no to your love. Merciful God, forgive us. Forgive us those times we choose to say no. Help us desire to say yes. Lord God, you promise to forgive us, to restore our relationship with you when we turn and say yes to your love. You invite us into a relationship and desire us to play our full part in it. You also ask us to treat the rest of creation as you do, with love and mercy. You have given us a great responsibility over all creation, and too often, over millennia, we have failed to act wisely. We have been greedy and selfish and have forgotten to care and share all that creation gives us. Merciful God, forgive us. Help us to seek to be better co-creators and to make the changes we need so that our world can flourish as it should. Your Son Jesus has left us the example we can choose to follow. Give us courage to want to choose that path. In Jesus' name we pray. In his name we bring this, our worship, our lives, to you, our God. Amen. Last week we were thinking about the earlier part of Matthew chapter 18 and how the church can be a context of conflict resolution. We continue with that chapter and we pick it up at verse 21. Matthew 18 from verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, if my brother keeps on sinning against me, how many times do I have to forgive him? 7 times? "No, not 7 times, answered Jesus, "but 70 times 7. Because the kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a king who decided to check on his servants' accounts. He had just begun to do so when one of them was brought in who owed him millions of pounds. The servant did not have enough to pay his debt, so the king ordered him to be sold as a slave with his wife and children and all that he had in order to pay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before the king. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay you everything.' The king felt sorry for him, so he forgave him the debt and let him go. Then the man went out and met one of his fellow servants who owed him a few pounds. He grabbed him and started choking him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he said. His fellow servant fell down and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had him thrown into jail until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were very upset and went to the king and told him everything. So he called the servant in. 'You worthless slave,' he said, 'I forgave you the whole amount you owed me just because you asked me to. You should have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you.' The king was very angry, and he sent the servant to jail to be punished until he should pay back the whole amount. And Jesus concluded, 'This is how my Father in heaven will treat every one of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart.'" Amen. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you're joining us. Today's reading starts with Peter. Peter tries so hard. Peter's the disciple who's willing to jump in, to open his mouth, to speak, comment, question, while the others remain quiet. He's someone who gives me great encouragement. He often gets things wrong, but he bounces back and tries again. I can see him eagerly coming up to Jesus and asking, "How many times should I forgive someone who sins against me? As many as 7 times? He doesn't ask if he should forgive. He's been with Jesus long enough to have learnt that forgiveness isn't optional. It's fundamental to the way that Jesus lives, how he heals and frees people. And Peter's been with his fellow disciples long enough to know that there are things that need forgiveness. Misunderstandings, frictions, words and deeds that hurt. So no, he doesn't ask if he should forgive, but how often he should do so. What's a reasonable limit? Some Jewish teaching of the day said that you should forgive someone 3 times. But if they sin against you a 4th time, you did not have to forgive them. So Peter's taken the figure 3, doubled it to 6, and added 1 to make 7. Surely this is being very generous to anyone who sins against him. He may well have expected a pat on the back from Jesus. But no pat on the back. Instead, Jesus replies, not 7 times, but 77 times. Or, in some translations, 70 times 7. I can imagine that Peter felt quite deflated. He'd got it wrong again. And the prospect of being expected to forgive someone 77 or 70 times 7, 490 times? Was that actually possible? But of course, Jesus was saying that there is no limit to forgiveness. It isn't something that you keep count of, record and keep a tally. His disciples were to forgive others as God forgives them. Jesus emphasizes this with the story of the king and his servants. The first servant owned 10,000 talents, an absurdly huge sum, a sum that would have paid a whole army of 150,000 workers for a year. There was no way that such a debt could ever have been repaid. No way that such a debt would have been allowed to mount up. And no way that any reasonable person would have written it off. Yet the king is not shown to be reasonable, but incredibly merciful and generous. He gives incredible, unlimited forgiveness. In the story, despite receiving such mercy and generosity, the servant is unwilling to extend these qualities to the colleague who owes him 100 denarii, nearly 4 months' wages, but a sum that could be repaid in time. The message is clear. Receiving and giving forgiveness are part of a whole. God's mercy and forgiveness are not reasonable. They fly in the face of common sense. They are limitless, but we can't hoard them when we receive them. They have to pass through us to others. It is only then that both we ourselves and the person who offends against us will be freed from the burden of the wrongdoing. Forgiving is often, I might say usually, not easy. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we say the words, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," or in another translation, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Words that trip so easily off my tongue. Actually saying the words, "I forgive you," to someone is often much harder. Even just saying those words with our lips, saying them with our hearts, can be more difficult still. But when we truly forgive, there will be no dark feelings towards that person lingering in the deep recesses of our hearts. No meanness, no bitterness. If or when we meet them again, we will not feel anger knotting our stomach. We will not be eager to tell others how we were hard done by. If something similar happens again, we will not automatically assume that it must be so-and-so because that's what they're like. Forgiving is hard, very hard. Another way of looking at Jesus' words, not 7 times, but 77 times, or 70 times 7, perhaps tells us that in our hearts we may have to forgive again and again the person who hurts us. Not because they act more than once, but because each time those dark feelings well up within us, we need to forgive again in our hearts until finally, possibly after countless attempts, we will be at peace with them, freed from the burden of the wrongdoing. We rightly pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Perhaps we should also pray, help us to forgive others as you forgive us. We will not achieve this in our own strength. We will need the help of the Holy Spirit. Going back to Peter, when he asked his question, how many times should I forgive someone who sins against me? He still had a lot to learn, more mistakes to make. But in time, after the crucifixion and resurrection, after he'd received the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Peter's eagerness, energy, and perseverance would enable him to be a leader in the fledgling church. This is why I find Peter so encouraging. We can all learn from this. We will get things wrong, or only partly right on occasions. In this creation season, we reflect that as nations, societies, and as individuals, we have got so many things wrong in our care of, or lack of it, for God's creation. Within my lifetime, more harm has been done to the environment, to our planet, than in the rest of the 2,000 years since Jesus walked the roads of Palestine. But we shouldn't give up or be discouraged. Like Peter, we should try again, listening to our Lord and being led by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We bring our prayers for others and for ourselves. God of grace and mercy, your love for us is wider, deeper and higher than we could ever imagine, and we are grateful for it. You call us friends and invite us to be co-creators of your kingdom here on earth with you. We know that our world is struggling with an increased risk of disease, an ongoing abuse of resources, poor decision-making leading to long-term damage for short-term gains. Christians have played a part in this over many generations, but perhaps now, as our old way of life unravels and a new way of living unfolds, we can face up to our mistakes and try to make better choices that will bring your kingdom here and now. Our country is rich, profiting from years of slavery and mining other countries' resources. For too long, we have not acknowledged nor admitted our mistakes. We need help to accept them and to turn from them, seeking forgiveness from those we have damaged and hurt. We need to become humble and let go of our sense of entitlement. Instead, we need to become servants of the world, looking for ways to bring justice and equality to all. The mistaken choices of our ancestors have caused misery and suffering. And if we do not acknowledge and turn from their mistakes, we'll cause further misery and suffering to future generations. We have been given an opportunity due to the pandemic to stop, to pause, and make big changes how we choose to live and forgive. We have the chance to heal our world, to make right some of our mistakes. We have the ongoing invitation from you, Lord God, to continue to co-create and make this wonderful world more like heaven. Help us to choose to be filled with love for all creation, to seek new ways to bring justice and equality for all. And in a moment's silence, we bring our own prayers, our thoughts, for others, for those we love, for those we struggle to love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. And continuing in a spirit of prayer, we bring our offerings. We bring all that we have, all that we are. Generous God, giver of every good and perfect gift, you're always giving and forgiving, as we are getting and forgetting. Receive the gifts we offer this day, our money, our love, and our faith in you. Give us a desire to give ourselves fully to the work of creating your kingdom here on earth, as in heaven. And hear us as we bring all our praying together, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Worship has ended. Go in peace, go in joy and love, and know that the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is with you and with all creation always. Amen. You.
shine upon you.